on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in. Singing in the rain.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Tonight we have variable cloud, clear spells and largely dry conditions for much of the evening. The winds will ease as well, which is always good. Monday, we've got mainly sunny and dry. Tomorrow, turning cloudier as the day moves on, with short but frequent showery spells.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
And welcome to the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM. And we hope you had a great Easter Sunday last week and you're not too full of egg. Spencer is back in the studio with me this week as Claire has been playing Gazelle in the Park, I hear, and has unfortunately hurt her leg a bit.
Oh, bless her. Well, this week we're going to be taking a closer look back to 1999, the year everyone feared everything would stop working at midnight on New Year's early hours of New Year's Day. We'll be looking at the music, art, films, TV and news of the year. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Natalie, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Down again and watch the miles roll on by.
3, 4.
Pick them up and put them down again until you stop one and you die.
1, 2.
Pick them up and put them down till Master Robert tells us to sleep.
3, 4.
When the hell did shoes get so damn dear and life become so
as we thought they would be.
Three, four.
Those damn Yankees ain't as near as scared or half as hungry as me.
One, two.
Pick them up and put them down again is all a body can do.
Three, four.
Pick them up and put them down again until this bloody world is
done. How many months, how many fields, how many days, how many years, how many rivers, how much sweat and up and put them down again, and watch the miles roll on.
Three, four.
Pick them up and put them down again until your strength is nearly gone.
One, two.
Pick them up and put them down again and dream of home safe and sound.
Three, four.
Pick them up and put them again until we're 6 feet under.
How many miles can on a beat, stretched to the bone, baked in the heat, playing for ground with another retreat? How many times into the breath? How many men won't walk away? How many hells filled with how many devils to pay?
Bodies all laid in the tall summer grass, swollen and butchered and steel,
measuring miles by the dead
that you pass, measuring life by the men that you kill.
How many days, how many more?
Wow, that was a very dramatic song, wasn't it? That was Civil War musical 21, How Many Devils. Have you ever heard of that musical before, Spencer?
Not at all.
That is a musical written by Frank Wildhorn, Jack Murphy and Greg Boyd, drawing on letters, diaries, first-hand accounts and the words of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass and Walt Whitman. The Civil War explores the experiences of soldiers and leaders who fought for their way of life. It also examines the lives of the lovers and families who they left behind, as well as the hopes and fears of the slaves whose freedom were at stake. So that, obviously, our theme this week is 1999. That was a musical that was released in 1999. It is about the American Civil War. More excitingly about 1999, though, is that Charlotte chose that, and she was born in 1999.
Do you know what's more exciting than that?
What?
I've just made the discovery that Vicky Michelle has a really small head.
Right. So you didn't mention this to Vicky before.
No.
You're just using her earphones.
I'm using her earphones, and they are tiny.
Have you considered that you might just have a really, really big head?
There's a possibility, but, yeah, you know, it's... my head is considerably larger than Vicky Michelle's.
And that's a bigger discovery than the year of Charlotte's birth.
Mm. Well, I obviously knew that already, but okay, I didn't know fair. That Vicky that's Michelle fair. Had a tiny head. No. So, listeners, next time you're listening to the show, Vic just Mix. Think about how tiny Vicky Michelle's head is.
Or how much smaller it is in comparison to Spencer Hawkins' head.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's a surprise that you're in the studio, isn't it, this week? Because we were expecting Claire. Unfortunately, Claire's hurt herself. So she'll be back in the studio next week, I'm sure. And until then, we've got a nice lineup of songs that Spencer's chosen to make her feel well.
Exactly. 1999. What's not to love about 1999?
I really enjoyed that year, only for the music, actually. And you'll see as you listen to more shows where I choose the music, actually a lot of the music that I prefer comes from this very specific era of time.
It was a great time for me too, 1999.
Was this when you were DJing?
No, my DJing time was over. I had just moved to Cheltenham Spa. And it was like the first time in my life that I'd moved away from, like properly away from the areas that I'd grown up with at my family. So I felt very grown up in 1999, despite the fact that I'd been married twice and had a plethora of children.
Oh, well, I just started senior school. and Charlotte was born. That was 1999 for us. So very different. But we were talking about some of the things that had happened. And the other day, me and Spencer were talking to my mum and Charlotte about the eclipse, and we couldn't remember.
No, we were here.
Oh, were we here?
We were here. We were talking about it on last week's show. Last week's show that we weren't really here for.
But people don't need to know that. So we're in the studio.
It's important that they do know, because otherwise what happens in our next conversation doesn't make any sense.
This is true.
They're going to call us out as liars.
Okay. But the conversation was, we weren't sure when this eclipse had happened, and I was sure we were on our way to Legoland, which we were. But actually, Charlotte wasn't born at that point. My mum was obviously pregnant with Charlotte at the time, and me and my brother stopped and did the old Blue Peter, let's look for a box or like sunglasses or something. I can't remember.
Well, that year
exactly
it was the 3D glasses, wasn't it, that year?
Oh, okay.
It was these weird, like, 3D glasses that everybody was getting because apparently there was something really weird about the eclipse this time.
Yeah, it could really hurt your eyes or something, couldn't it? Yeah, so we did that, but in a car park of a service station.
And the Radio Times that week gave away a copy of the glasses so that you could, you know,
maybe that's where we've got our glasses from. Maybe my nan and granddad had got us a pair from the newspapers. But anyway, 1999 aside, last week we were not in the studio. Just for anyone that was listening and thought we were not, because we were actually in Gran Canaria, which was very nice.
It was lovely.
We did a pre-record for Easter to make sure people wouldn't miss out on our beautiful voices. What did you like about Gran Canaria, Spencer? What was your favourite part?
My favourite part was obviously the sun, because sun is good. It was nice and warm. We've had a few months of being really, really cold, so it was lovely to be out in the warm and having a nice time. Yeah, the food was good, obviously, and the thing that I really enjoyed was the day that we went on the big long walk.
And that was Easter Sunday.
That was a week ago today. We climbed up the hill, and there was this big cross, and then underneath the cross was this cave system, which was where the very first Canarians would have lived. It was all kind of fenced off, but you could still see it, and I thought that was kind of fun. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily fun, but on Monday we went to the Cathedral of the Canaries, where we were both pretty gobsmacked to find Monsignor Buenaventura Codina Orgulerios, a perfectly preserved bishop who died in 1857 and has been living in a glass coffin ever since. When you walk into a room in a cathedral, you don't expect to look over in the corner and go, oh, look, there's the old stuffed bishop.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I've seen a dead body before.
No, it was a very strange scenario.
I mean, you know, you go to museums, you see, like, the mummies and you see the shrunken heads and all of these things, but I don't think I've seen a body preserved like that before in my life.
Yeah.
So that was quite a surprise. And also quite surprising, because we were talking a couple of weeks ago, probably with my mum and Charlotte again, about how, was it in the 70s, 60s, 70s, there was a period of time where lots of funerals were backed up and people were having to keep loved ones in their homes.
Yeah. My granddad, great-granddad, was one of those people. He sat in my grandmother's dining room in Barking for almost 6 months.
in kind of open casket style.
Yeah, the coffin lid was shut, and he had been embalmed.
Yeah.
But, you know, occasionally it was like, oh, do you want to see somebody? You know, someone had come round. Oh, do you want to see him? You know, take the load off.
And who was it that was saying that there was a grandparent that was in a room and they had to go and kiss their grandparent on the cheek before they left? I'm sure somebody was saying that. It was just quite standard in there.
Yeah, it was whoever we were with your mum.
I can't remember.
It was the day that we had our Easter event, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I just remember that conversation. It was quite a normal thing that you might have a dead relative in a room in your home, and people weren't too freaked out about it. But actually, for me, yeah, seeing this bishop in the church first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing I did.
It'll be a first time for everything.
The other thing I did this week is I've been working with on a trial program for a biographer, an AI biographer called Memwell.
Memwell.
And what happens like is you tell it, is it asked you questions and it writes you a book. Unfortunately, I'm never going to get to the end of the book because I was only doing a 5-day trial for the AI program's maker. But it was quite interesting. It was quite interesting how it put it all together and how it was novelizing it, you know, my life as a book. Very strange, but very interesting. So Memwell will be out in the summer, and the idea being is that you use it as kind of a journal and as an autobiography, and it creates, through questioning and through information that you feed it, it creates a document of your life.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because there's always this conversation around whether AI is good for creative industries. Well, at least it's been a rising question in the last couple of years. But something like this, actually, how many people have amazing stories to tell and don't have the capability of writing them down? I think that's quite a good purposeful app for oral histories and local heritage and things like that.
I always use my grandmother as a prime example of this. She was always filled with stories.
Yeah.
Now all those stories have gone because I only remember the parts of them. I don't remember the full thing. What have you been up to this week?
Well, I obviously went to Gran Canaria too. My most enjoyable part of Gran Canaria is probably going to the CAM Art Museum, among a couple of other things. But what I particularly liked about the CAM Museum, which is the Atlantic Centre of Modern Art, is firstly, it is free to get in because part of the ethos of the gallery is that Canarian artists should be showcased within the Canary Islands, and that's really fantastic. There are a lot of really great Canarian contemporary artists showing at the Centre of Modern Art. But also the architecture. So the building is in what looks like two neoclassical houses. So in Gran Canaria, if you go over to, I think the area is called Tirana, isn't it? Or Tirana. And basically it's the historic centre of Las Palmas. All of the facades are kind of this really old style of architecture, these neoclassical houses and buildings that are even older. You've got all of the old wooden structures that are made of the trees that grow in the volcanic ash, so they're more robust. So lots of interesting kind of design facts around there. But this building is completely modern. So you go into these neoclassical houses, and then in the middle you've got a white cube type space with amazing amounts of light pouring in through a sunroof, and then kind of staircases everywhere, and it's very metal and white and just looks really cool. So that was designed by architect Francesco Javier Sáenz de Oiza, who I believe is from Gran Canaria as well. But yeah, it's just really nice kind of appreciating Canarian art, because, you know, we have a tendency of going away, we go to these amazing contemporary art galleries and they are artists from all over the world, which makes sense, you know, you're going to see the best artworks. But here they really showcased all of the island contemporary artists. I also enjoyed seeing a lot of Art Nouveau buildings in Las Palmas too. You were saying one looked like it was from a Dario Argento film.
Yeah, yeah. The cool. The window frames were very distinctive.
Yeah.
If you track me down on Instagram, it was my most recent post.
Yeah.
So you can see what we're talking about in terms of the design. In Dario Argento and a lot of the Italian films, you find this sort of style window. Normally, something bad's going to happen behind the window.
Yeah, but all kind of floral, organic shapes. But yeah, I mean, I took loads and loads of photos of all of the buildings in their main shopping street in Tirana. They're all amazing. Very, very nice looking buildings. And then, obviously, on Good Friday. So another thing that I didn't expect from Gran Canaria is that a lot of the religious activity would be on the Friday rather than the Sunday. So there was a big mourning procession on Friday morning, which we didn't see, but I looked at pictures online. Basically, every female that is going to the church on the morning of Good Friday wears a white robe, and there's a procession through the city. And then we turned up just before a procession of mourning, where there are a lot of ladies wearing black veils.
They look like they were from The Godfather.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of people in military outfits, a lot of what you can only imagine to be members of their parliament and stuff like this. So yeah, that was really interesting. So a lot of the religious and cultural activity does actually happen on Good Friday rather than Easter Sunday.
And the most important part of our trip away that you've missed.
What's that?
Wrinkly potatoes.
Wrinkly potatoes, yeah. If you're looking for a slice of culture in the Canaries, definitely look for their local cuisine. Wrinkly potatoes and barraquitos, which is a coffee that's made with condensed milk and liqueur 43, which is an orange flavoured alcoholic liqueur, which is very tasty.
And the wrinkly potatoes are basically cooked potatoes that are kind of almost like overcooked, and then they, on Tenerife, they serve it with what they call mojo sauce, which is three different types of sauce. But in Gran Canaria, they were serving it with, sometimes there was elements of mojo sauce there, but there was like the garlic
picante sauce
dip there as well. And then there was the truffle dip as well when we went to Mr. Kale,
which is a fully gluten-free restaurant.
It is.
Instead of looking at health food in the way that everything is vegan and plant-based, actually, Mr. Cow is more about protein and ensuring you get enough balance in your meals, which is, it's quite a good concept. But anyway, obviously, Gran Canaria is Spanish, and Spencer has pulled out of the bag an amazing first song for our 1999 hits. What's that, Spencer?
Well, it would seem inappropriate not to drag out Living La Vida Loca from Ricky Martin. And this is the Spanish version?
It is Espanol.
Oh.
Por eso te besaba. elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0777 609 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet 2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let's take the stress of booking that dream getaway.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. Book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Activate.
Yay, TLC.
Yeah, I really like that song. I don't know if you noticed.
Well, they wouldn't have noticed at home, but I did. You were singing all the lyrics and dancing around.
I didn't realise that I literally know all of the lyrics to that song. I thought I knew a couple of the verses, but then it repeats. So, yeah.
Always remember TLC because they are one of the most misunderstood lyric authors. There was some thing that was published not very long ago about how more songs than by TLC than any other recording artist have lyrics that people don't understand. And as a standing example of that, I used to know someone who thought that the lyrics to Waterfalls was "Go Go Jason Waterfalls."
Go go Jason. Oh right, you mean like they just couldn't hear what they were saying.
They nobody understands.
Waterfalls about drug addiction.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that song too. And obviously TLC came to a tragic end, didn't they?
Lisa Left Eye Lopez did, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. She died in 2006.
Was it a plane crash?
No, car accident. She got rammed off the road in Hawaii. By a car coming in the opposite direction.
Yeah, really sad, because they were big at the time, weren't they? Yeah. I remember not that long after, it was another R&B, so it wasn't Ashanti, was it?
Ashanti was the one that crashed, was in the plane crash.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just remember those series of years, R&B was really, really popular, wasn't it? And then you had a couple of these really, really famous female R&B stars just... Yeah, kind of dying too young. Very sad. But anyway, back to the news of 1999. You've been doing some research on some of kind of the big hitting news stories of the year, and there were a lot of them. And looking at the show notes, you've probably cut down quite a lot in terms of what we could talk about. But go through some of the big ones.
I should first off point out that Ashanti is very much alive.
Oh, who was it?
I think her name was Aaliyah.
Aaliyah, Rock the Boat.
Yeah, that was it. Okay, so 99 memories in the news. Are we going to do these one each?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's do it one each.
We'll pretend we're on some kind of news show.
Okay, so the Euro... The currency launched in 99 and was initially adopted by 11 countries.
Do you remember all of the campaigns against the euro in the
UK?
Yeah, I remember a big one in Romford Market.
And then obviously Greece joined the euro and it proved why it, at that moment in time it was a problem.
Yeah, but now pretty strong as a currency.
Yeah.
The Kosovo crisis came to an end. So this was huge in the 90s. The Kosovo war was caused by ethnic tensions between two groups, Albanian Muslims and Slavic Christian Serbians, both Serbia and Kosovo. Serbians viewed the region of Kosovo as theirs and attempted to ethnically cleanse the region from 1998 to 1999. This came to an end on the 3rd of June after 3 months of NATO bombing, with Yugoslavic forces withdrawing from Kosovo. That was absolutely huge in the 90s. Yep. Such a devastating time. And again, lots of Kosovans coming to the UK as well to seek refuge.
Yeah. The Lawrence Report was published and it looked at incompetence, corruption and institutional racism. The paper assessed the conclusions and recommendations of Great Britain's McPherson Report, which examined the police investigation of the murder of Stephen Lawrence, a black teenager who was murdered in South London in 1993.
And from what I understand, that is still ongoing, isn't it?
It is, inquiry.
Yeah. More from NATO. So there was a NATO enlargement in the 90s. The Czech Republic, Hungary and Poland joined the alliance in March 1999.
The minimum wage was introduced.
Isn't it funny to think it was only introduced in 1999?
Absolutely.
Do you know how much it was, minimum wage, when it was first introduced? It's around £6 or something.
I thought it was £3.33.
Okay, we're going to check that in the next song.
Okay.
Because I'd like to know. Bearing in mind, it's just gone up this month, hasn't it? It's now, is it
11:44? I lose it. I just see the bigger picture when I'm trying to do the financial calculations for the next year. And I'm like, what? We're spending £500,000 on wages?
Whoops. Should be spending more. The Murder of Jewel Dando was in 1999. So this was the BBC newsreader and Crime Watch presenter who was murdered on her doorstep after being stalked for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, allegedly. Allegedly, because the guy that got charged got released, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
So we still don't really know who killed Jewel Dando, which is...
No, but again, that kind of sweeped the nation's fear of kind of living and going home alone, especially as a female.
Yep. Elections to Scottish and Welsh parliaments took place for the first time.
Again, it's hard to believe that was only in 1999. Very strange. The solar eclipse in 1999, we've already discussed this. Ian and Mel went and embraced the sun at Stonehenge. Who are Ian and Mel?
From EastEnders. Do you remember last week? In last week's show, we talked about Ian and Mel went to Stonehenge. And they went to Stonehenge because of the eclipse. We couldn't remember what year it was and all that. Well, this was the year, Ian and Mel.
That's Ian Bill, right?
Yeah. Yep. And Ian Bill and Mel, played by Tamsin Althwaite. They went off to Stonehenge, and that was the moment that they decided that they were in love.
Mm.
That lasted well, didn't it?
Yeah, of course. What else happened in 1999?
Oh, there was the Millennium Bug.
Of course.
The biggest non-event ever, where nobody could seem to get their head around the fact what would happen to digital devices at midnight 2000.
I remember learning about this at school, and the bug was like a little rectangular bug shape. It looked like a computer chip, didn't
it? Yeah, but I mean, we were going to run out. There was not going to be any electric. Our computers were going to just break suddenly.
Yeah.
VCR recordings wouldn't have VCRs. That's funny, isn't it? Those little things.
It was all based around timers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what happens when the timer comes to the end? And you just think, can't you just get rid of the timer from the machine?
And it's literally, it's yeah, it was just... If you think about it now, it was the most stupid thing ever to just imagine that things would stop just because it reached 2000. You know, you're going to have these weird numbers every 100 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, bizarre. Bizarre to think it was such a heated discussion.
And dominated the news for so long.
It did. The Millennium Dome, obviously that was built and opened just in time in 2000 for a big party. Do you remember April Fool's Day 1999? What show was it? Somebody pretended that the Millennium Dome was on fire and loads of fire brigades turned up to Millennium Dome.
No, I don't remember that.
Do you not? I think it was Live and Kicking or something like that. It was an April Fool's Day joke.
I was too busy being a grown-up in 1999,
yeah, well,
remember?
I was not. I was at the end of primary school. But I'd go to the Millennium Dome. Did you go to the Millennium Dome?
Not till in the early 2000s. Probably 2005, 2006 was the first time I went to the Dome.
We went as... a school group, so a couple of people from my class put together something for something or other. I can't remember.
Something for something or other.
All I remember is we were Brazil and we'd made some kind of stand that we were giving away mango at, and that won us an award to go and see the Millennium Dome.
Nice.
And you could go inside a giant body, couldn't you?
Yes.
And Bob Monkhouse was in there. He was the brain, I think, doing some kind of comedy sketch.
Why wouldn't he be?
I don't know. That's what I remember. Also, my nan got an invite to the official launch party of the Millennium Dome, which I don't believe she went to because of transport issues, but
yeah.
Big deal.
Absolutely. Other news stories included the Columbine High School massacre, the impeachment of President Bill Clinton, the height of the dot-com bubble, massive protests outside the World Trade Center in Seattle. Sorry, massive protests against the World Trade Organization in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
JFK Jr. died in a plane crash, and Woodstock 99 took place, which was... the understatement of the year. A little bit of pointless trivia for you that I discovered, which kind of excited me. So for those of you that don't know, Natalie and I run the Mercury in Romford, and we recently had a new store opened. And if I backtrack slightly, Freeman, Hardy and Willis closed down finally in the UK and sold their final remaining opened stores to Steed and Simpson.
And that was in 1999.
Yeah, and Steed and Simpson later rebranded as Shoe Zone.
Ah, yes, and Shoe Zone has just opened in the Mercury.
Exactly.
Nice dovetail there. Smooth, one might say. Which brings us on to our next 90s song, which is Whatever Happened to Santana? This is Santana and Smooth.
Santana and Smooth. Do you remember how you couldn't ever hear Santana and Smooth without also hearing Top Loader dancing in the moonlight?
Yeah, no, that is a very good observation.
It was one would always follow the other. We had a comment come in from Mr. Cliff Gray from Romford, and he said, Didn't Pulse also close in 1999?
Yes, it did, in September 1999.
September the 17th, 1999. Thank you very much, Cliff, for pointing that out, which I'd completely forgotten.
And I seem to remember also there was a poster in Pulse which had the top 10 of that
yes.
of the week that it closed down. But, yeah, it went missing, didn't it, that poster?
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
I don't know where that's gone. It could have gone to the coast somewhere, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely in somebody's games room somewhere at
yes,
home.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a nostalgia poster. So, yeah, Santana. I was just saying to Spencer, what happened to Santana? He was filling me in that actually Santana were around in, could you say the 60s, 70s?
He's around from the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, so he's still around, but kind of on the down low, I guess. Anyway, other things that have happened in the 90s. So Spencer set me on a little challenge for 1999 visual art stars. So, yeah, I've had a little bit of a research on what kind of exhibitions were happening. And 1999 was a sensational year for contemporary art, quite literally. But the story actually starts in 1997 for what I found. So this year, my mum was studying at Havering College. I remember her distinctly telling me about a class trip they'd attended with some cut-up animals in fish tanks and a man's head made of blood. Of course, it was the London Blockbuster Exhibition of the Year, Sensations, hosted at the Royal Academy of Arts after a previous exhibition of Saatchi's YBAs had brought a new audience with contemporary first into London. It included Damien Hirst's Mother and Child Divided, which, of course, was the animal in the tank, and Mark Quinn's Self, and it was called Sensations. You can actually see Mark Quinn's Self in... the National Gallery, National Portrait Gallery now. It has a permanent home there.
We should go.
We can go if you want. A culmination of some of the most shocking contemporary artworks of the decade. It included 110 works by 44 different artists. And according to Grigor Moi, who is the author of Lucky Kunst, The Rise and Fall of Young British Art, he said, for better or for worse, Sensation put British art on the map. Nowhere has embraced contemporary art in quite the same way Britain has. Everyone from cab drivers to politicians were talking about a group of young artists. It felt like an opening up of art, and suddenly it wasn't elitist. It drew over 300,000 guests at the time. 80% of those were under the age of 30, and was so popular it ended up on tour for 4 years, with over 40 contemporary Brits finding their name in New York in 1999 for what by this point seemed more like a retrospective for British contemporary art than anything else. In 1997, the sensational story was Damien Hirst's Pickled Animals, and in true British spirit and German spirit in 1998 as it travelled to Berlin, audiences were shocked but accepting. While in 1999 in the US, the show was so scandalous it became a pawn in mayoral elections. So Chris Ofili's painting The Holy Virgin Mary was a catalyst of the scandal, which took a religious turn when New York Catholic League President William Donohue joined a campaign against Sam Taylor Wood's Wrecked, a photograph recreating the Last Supper with female bare-breasted Christ. The city's Catholic mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, condemned the show even before it opened. He pulled funding and then threatened to close it. A judge got involved, Judge Nina Gershon, restored the funding and argued the attacks were a matter of opinion. It then became an argumental point with New York's two candidates for 2000 Senate elections, Republican Rudolph Giuliani and Democrat Hillary Clinton. So, yeah, quite an amazing exhibition that kind of created... some chaos in 1999. But what I found was truly special about this exhibition is that it was actually instrumental in putting London onto the global map of contemporary art. And the Tate Modern was built in 1999 and opened in 2000, partially because of this first for contemporary art. And of course, the Tate Modern is now one of London's biggest tourist attractions. So, other things happened in 1999. The Turner Prize. This was also a huge talking point in the media at the time. So, meanwhile in the UK, while all of this sensation stuff's going on in New York, modern art persisted to lead from British shores and as Steve McQueen won the Turner Art Prize. This was possibly the year that the prize was questioned the most, as Sensations and young British artist Tracy Emin was beat to the post by the filmmaker. Tracy Emin had been nominated with My Bed, which as you will probably recognise by the name, is the tent that was spoken about quite a lot. It has its home in the Tate Britain now. And thanks to extensive media coverage, saw the exhibition attendance rise to a record 140,000 guests, with an average of 2,000 visitors a day, just to see my bed. The installation of her unmade bed, complete with dirty sheets and detritus, provoked an extreme critical response. The high visibility of my bed in the tabloid press prompted Culture Secretary Chris Smith to criticise the jury for deliberately selecting shock installations that gave the country a bad name abroad, which isn't a surprise in light of the New York mayor elections kicking off that year over the same thematic work. Such media exposure complaints included this gem, which I found. And this was a quote from The Sun, an interview with a mother in 1999. "It makes me so angry to see these so-called artists glorifying a messy bedroom. What is the world coming to when a major art exhibition sends out this message?" That's one thing to say. The award, however, was won by internationally acclaimed artist Steve McQueen for his film and video works. In awarding him the prize, the jury admired the poetry and clarity of his vision, the range of his work, its emotional intensity and economy of means. And of course, Steve McQueen at the time was up and coming. Now he is a staple of British contemporary art, and that's kind of where it started for him. Yes. And we're going to go straight into another track now, which is chosen by Jill, my mum. And I would say, after talking about Steve McQueen, we probably deserve a party.
Come on, yeah, get down tonight, uh-huh. Everybody get down tonight.
Get grooving, just can't wait. Hey, oh. The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support the local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students. Accompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Lealina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business?